Welcome back to BritishHeritage.com, the official website of British Heritage Travel Magazine. Let's listen in to Amy Griggs and Dr. Dana Huntley as they explore life downstairs, past and present.
Now, we touched on the fact that Sir Fellows created these wonderful characters that we love, and the fact that at the end of World War I, things just sort of turned upside down and many people could leave service. But as you've pointed out in several articles, and also the article by Sean Ellis in the latest...
Yes.
Now, what is the name of that? The door?
Behind the green beige door.
What does that word come from?
The beige is sort of a felt wall covering.
Okay.
And the green beige door was the door inobtrusively blending into the wall that separates the upstairs and downstairs world.
Right. And it kept the noise out.
And
it was like a soundproof thing.
Yes. Noise and servants and such annoying things as cooking smells.
Yes. Oh, we wouldn't want that. In this article, she references the fact that there still is an up-and-running butler school.
Well, the British butler's role has changed considerably, but they are still much in demand. And there are a number of great stately homes that are still in private hands and will have a British butler in charge.
And they need a Carson.
Well, they need a Carson, but Carson's role's changed considerably. The difference is that now he doesn't have 40 people at his disposal to execute things.
So he has to do much of the work himself, I'm sure.
Well, nowadays a butler's going to do valeting, is going to iron. It may be setting the clocks, maybe doing errands and serving as a social secretary.
Oh, my goodness.
The roles have changed.
In that article, behind the green beige door, I know they talked about some of the estates having as many as 88 servants just in the indoors.
Yes.
Not counting the people out brewing, milling, game keepers, any of the things around the grounds that had to be taken care of.
An army of gardeners.
And many gardeners and many laundresses, because there were, I can quote the article, there were like 98 damask tablecloths. I remember this number for sure, 92 dozen damask napkins that had to be laundered. So they kept a lot of people busy. But the idea, as I understand it, was that that great house was self-sufficient. It grew everything it needed to feed itself and all these people.
Fundamentally, that was the idea.
Okay.
And to an extent that would surprise us today, they managed to do it. Now, obviously, they're importing things like spices and fruits and...
And wonderful wine.
And wonderful wine. But the... Day-to-day running of the household.
Came from right there.
Came from the home farm.
So now, I started to say this before. We're talking about the characters that we love, the servant characters. And they had other things to do after World War I. But who were the people that became all of these people that went into service? It was a large percentage of the population, which is another thing it's hard for Americans to grasp, I think. This was 2 million people, wasn't it, at least?
There were 2 million people in domestic service at the start of World War I. This was a huge source of employment, but it was very desirable employment.
Yes, it was respected. You were given food, you were given lodging.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, in the lower echelons of the downstairs world, you worked long, hard hours, no question. But when you compare the way in which they lived, were fed, housed, taken care of, to being a hardscrabble subsistence farmer.
Right. Or working in a coal mine.
Or working in the mines or in the dark satanic textile mills of Lancashire and so forth. This was...
Very desirable.
And there were avenues for working your way up.
Join Amy and Dr. Dana Huntley to hear more about the changing culture surrounding the finale of Downton Abbey. Be sure to sign up for our monthly newsletter and visit us again at BritishHeritage.com. Thanks for listening.